views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm here in sunny Seattle at Hubbard Radio on 1150 KKNW. And you may be listening from WBLQ in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York, somewhere across the United States on cable radio network, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from today, it's going to be a fun and insightful conversation, I'm sure of it. And before I proceed with introducing our guest, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio, who allows you to hear these conversations, does his magic, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Hi. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. It's here.
Yes.
And it's going to happen.
The Blue Angels.
Oh,
yes.
My God. I've been waiting all week for this.
Well, you know, it's funny because I really wasn't keeping track of which week they're going to be here. And then all of a sudden, I live out in the
blue,
far, far away. And all of a sudden, my house starts to shake. And I look up through my skylight thinking, what the heck's up there? And then I saw the formation of the Blue Angels are here.
Uh-huh. They're back. Yes. It's so nice to see them. Of course, Seafair Weekend is upon us. And another little note, I know we're not a sports show, but Russell Wilson has now signed a 4-year extension for the Seahawks, so our quarterback is now staying. That's good for $87.6 million, which is quite a bit of money. But hey, he can do whatever he wants with it, and it's good to have him. And of course, it's the beginning of the season officially today for the training field. But,
and as you know,
and that's why you were late, because I know you were down there.
Oh, yeah,
that's why you're late. Don't say anything about, traffic was bad. You were down there seeing him. I know what you were doing.
Yeah, I'm not a big football fan, but I do really appreciate the way the Seahawks are utilizing more holistic methods.
Yes.
To train and to have the players learn more focus, and I'm a big proponent of that. And, of course, I'll root for them, but it's
more brain power than brawn.
Yes.
And you are representing blue, though. It is Blue Friday.
You're right.
And it's a Blue Moon Friday.
I know. It's very exciting.
So this is just stars are aligning all over. We have got Krista with us, too. I mean, this is just ridiculous day. This is fantastic.
It is. And we have Krista Gibson here today. And, Benny, it's funny because many, many years ago, when I was just starting out as a healer, I don't know, 2004, 2005, somewhere around there, I'd just been doing it for a little while. I was chatting with somebody in a bookstore, and they were talking about, did I know the people who used to publish New Times? Was I familiar with that? It's like, I don't know who they were. They're about to start a new newspaper. And all of a sudden, I got this head-to-toe chill, like, oh, I need to connect with them.
Yes.
It was like at that stage when I really hadn't embraced my intuition completely, but it was so obvious. And it's like, okay, I need to advertise with them. I need to connect with them. And since then, of course, it's been many, many years. It's the publisher of New Spirit Journal, Krista Gibson, and she does all sorts of things around the world, doing workshops. She's on her third book right now. And anyway, she's had an amazing life. Here's the title of her latest book, Anything is Possible, How a Former Nun Counseled Drug Addicts, Worked in Machine Shops, Survived a Serial Killer, Became a Spiritual Teacher and Publisher, and What This Means for You. I'd like to welcome my guest today, Krista Gibson. Hi, Krista.
Hi. So nice to be here with you. It's great.
It's great because, I've gotten to know you over the years, and you're just such a bright light, and you're so centered. And when I hear about some of your earlier escapades in life, it's like, How does she stay so calm about it all?
I love the word escapade. No one's used that word yet. I love it. Escapade. Yeah. Yes, they were.
I know somebody said you're like the spiritual Indiana Jones because of all the adventures you've had.
That's right. Yeah, somebody else came up with that one. I like that one, too.
I do,
too. Things I never thought of.
Yes, yes. So, Krista, you know, I know that on a month... on a monthly basis, you've got a column in your newspaper, and you've always got something inspirational to say. You've got your Wednesday inspirations, and I always read those, and you have something insightful to say. So I know you're filled with wisdom. Why did you choose to write this book and finally share details about your life?
Well, the reason why is because when I give workshops, especially ones that relate to following your dreams or building your business or doing those things, I've shared parts of my story. I shared a lot of the things that I've gone through in business and in my personal life. And whenever I've done that, people have been so inspired, they've told me. And It has helped them, get in touch with their inner selves and their higher selves and feel more encouraged to go out and live their purpose. Mm-hmm. And so over time, it was finally like, you know, maybe it's time for me to put this down in writing and share it with a wider audience than I can just in either one-on-ones or small workshops.
Right.
And so that was the motivation. And it took me quite a few years to actually write it because I am a shy person, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
I don't like to talk about myself a whole lot. That's not what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so to sit down and write a book about my life is like, it was really daunting. And of course, you know, it was like, well, what am I going to put in there? What am I not going to put in there?
Uh-huh.
How vulnerable do I want to be?
Uh-huh.
You know, how much of my personal past do I really want to share? How many of my escapades do I want to share? And so I had to go through all of that. And, you know, what I did was I basically sat down and did, obviously, a first draft where I kind of just, you know, mapped it all out. And then, you know, it took a while. And then what I did, which was, in my opinion, pretty brave, but I did it, was I created a special email list, and I had about 90 people who joined that email list.
Uh-huh.
And the way I did that was through my Wednesday inspiration. I put out, well, I'm forming this new email list, and I'm going to be sharing chapters of my book. And by now, I had it written, and I was in, like, the editing stage.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to try it out on people and see what people's response was. So I had this email list of 90 people, and every week or so, sometimes it was more like every month, you know, I would send them out parts of the book and see what response I got back. And the response was phenomenal. It was really positive. And people who have known me a while were emailing me saying, gosh, I never knew this about you. Like,
yes.
Oh, my God.
That's what I felt when I was reading this book. It's like, oh, I never heard that about Krista. It's like,
uh-huh.
That's pretty wild.
Exactly. And that helped me hone it. It helped me kind of look like, you know, okay, do I want to leave this in? Do I want to take it out?
Uh-huh.
And because of the feedback, it was a better book.
Mm-hmm.
Because then after I had finished sharing it all, then I sat down and I really, you know, took things out, added things, added photos. So uh-huh. I had some photos of myself as a nun and when I was younger.
Right.
And so I put those in there. And then I also have written, and it's not published yet, it's coming out later this year, a guidance deck that's called Anything is Possible.
Oh, wonderful.
And I originally had that in this book, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to make it two separate, you know, launches.
Uh-huh.
And so there is a deck coming out that people will be able to use to help them follow their dreams.
Right. Right. So clearly, it's not just about your story. It's about how your story relates and can help others.
Exactly. And that's why I've put in, I call them rest stops, because it felt to me like, okay, we're running along and I'm talking about my life. Then it's like, hold the horses here. Let's just pull over to the side of the road,
uh-huh.
and let's kind of look at what I just shared with you. And now I want you to turn that mirror on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And what about what I just shared it applies to you? And how can you incorporate some of the lessons I had into your life? And so everything in the book, that's why I put it, and what this means for you.
Right.
Because I didn't just write this just to say, hey, look at everything I've done, because that's really not where I've come from.
Mm-hmm.
Where I come from is, here's what I've done, and what does that mean to you? How can what I've done and what I've experienced, you know, the pluses and the minuses,
sure.
How can you use that in your life? And so I have these rest stops, which help people turn within themselves to see how they can use the information to better their own life.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that people learn so much through stories. I mean, there's research that shows that. And also, Brené Brown has shown through her research that the key to connection is vulnerability. So my hat's off to you to have just sort of like put it all out there within the context of this book. And I think that's great, Krista. You know, we're going to be going to a quick break, but when we return, we're going to start out with young 15-year-old Krista becoming a nun and more adventures with Krista Gibson when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with Krista Gibson, who is the publisher of New Spirit Journal, as well as the author of several books, including Anything is Possible, How a Former Nun Counseled Drug Addicts, Worked in Machine Shops, Survived a Serial Killer, Became a Spiritual Teacher and Publisher, and What This Means for You. Gosh, just the subtitle alone, you know, it's like, ugh, you want to read this book. So tell me, Krista, how did you end up becoming a nun?
Well, from the time I was young, from the time I was four, I used to say I want to be a nun. And mm-hmm. sometimes I'd say I want to be a teacher or a nurse, because, of course, in those days you didn't become doctors if you were a woman.
Right.
But I pretty much stuck to I want to be a nun. Uh-huh. And I was a very religious child. You know, I said my rosary every day, went to Mass, went uh-huh. to Holy Communion. And so as I started getting, you know, into my early teens, actually not even that late, I started saying, well, this is really what I want to do. And so I started investigating different nunneries that I could go into. And there was actually one who would have taken me in eighth grade back then.
My
this
goodness.
Was back in the 60s. And I did a sleepover at that nunnery, and it was a really big order. I mean, they had mm-hmm. thousands of nuns across the world. And
wow.
I thought, no, I don't, that's not for me. And so then there were these nuns that I had gone to school with for the last, I don't know how many years, uh-huh. and they were a small Irish order. There were just like 24 of them. And so I looked into that, and I thought, yeah, I want to join them. It's a small order. I know them. It feels good. This would really be good. But they didn't want me to come until I had 2 years of high school.
Uh-huh.
So I finished my second year of high school when I was 15, and they took me, and I went in the convent at 15.
Wow.
And it was very exciting because it was something, it's like reaching a dream that that you've wanted your whole life.
Sure.
And we both know 15 isn't very old.
No,
but when you're there, it feels really old.
Sure.
but it was amazing. You know, I went in, and here I was, you know, living the nun lifestyle with meditation uh-huh. and prayer and living with these nuns that I'd gone to school with. Some of them had been my teachers. And I just loved it. And the first year I finished high school, I went in with another young girl my age, uh-huh. and we finished our high school together. We did the last 2 years in 1 year at a women's high school near the convent. So I did graduate, and then the year after that is called your spiritual year,
mm-hmm.
and you're a novice, and you spend the entire year pretty much in silence and meditation and spiritual
goodness.
Studies. And I absolutely adored that year. You know, you're allowed a year where you don't have to worry about anything mm-hmm. other than praying and being in mm-hmm. that spiritual place.
Right.
And then after that, you know, we started going to college. And the nuns wanted me to study music, piano,
uh-huh.
and I had played piano my whole life, so it made sense to do that. I wanted to study psychology, and that's where the vow of obedience came in, because they said, no, we don't need a counselor or a psychologist, we need a music teacher.
Oh,
so that's what I did.
Uh-huh.
And after I'd been there a few years, you know, I took my vows, and things were going along okay, and then I started getting these terrible headaches. I started feeling like I didn't belong. It was really a spiritual crisis.
Oh, dear.
Because here I was living what I had always wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't working anymore.
Right.
And it wasn't that I wasn't a good nun. It wasn't that I was doing anything wrong. It just didn't work. And so after a period of time, along with my spiritual director, decided, yeah, you know, I'm being told this isn't my place, and
uh-huh.
I do need to leave. And that's when all heck broke loose, because in order to stay in the church, I needed to get permission from the bishop to be dispensed from my vows.
Uh-huh.
And in order to do that, I had to write a letter, and then I had to wait for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
During the time, once word got out I was leaving, it was horrible.
Really?
The nuns shunned me like you wouldn't believe.
Oh.
And here were these women. I had been, you know, I've known them for years. I lived with them as sisters for the last 5 years.
Uh-huh.
They would get off the pathway. Like if we met on a sidewalk, they uh-huh. would step off and look down.
Oh,
they wouldn't even talk
goodness.
To me. It was, I mean, I was absolutely heartbroken.
How unloving is that?
I know. What was that about?
Oh.
And so finally I decided one Friday, I thought, you know, I was just heartbroken. And I thought, I cannot live this way anymore. I don't care if I'm going to stay in the Catholic Church. I'm
mm-hmm.
leaving no matter what.
Right.
So I got home from college that day, went walking over to where the Mother Superior's office was.
Mm-hmm.
She met me on the pathway and said, your letter just arrived. So I was like, oh, thank God.
Uh-huh.
But here's the other thing. So she told me, call your mom, who I had told by then that I was leaving,
right.
and have her come while the rest of us are at Mass, and don't say goodbye to anybody. Just wait.
Oh.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. So here I was just going to turn 20 in a few days, and I mean, it was like, again, it was just a crisis. It was a spiritual crisis once again,
right.
because now, number one, the dream I had clearly wasn't working out. It was time for me to go do something else, and
uh-huh.
I didn't know what that was.
Right.
And then on top of that, to be shunned so terribly was just an incredible aching. It was awful. And so, but you know, what could I do at that point? So I, that's what I did. I called my mom. She came and got me. And what's one of the first things she said to me in the car?
What'd she say?
She had dyed her hair red because she was starting to get some gray. And so we're driving to my parents' house, and she said, now she said, I would like for you to dye your hair red to match mine. So none of my friends know this isn't my natural hair color. And I was like,
she had different focus, didn't she?
Here we go. I mean, it wasn't like, how do you feel? And, gee, this must be hard on you, dear. And, you know, what are you going to do with the rest of your life now? You know, so I'm on stun, and she's wanting me to dye my hair red.
So did you do it?
No. No.
So there you were following your spiritual mission. And then you got guidance. It was time to go. And those people who had supported you were no longer supportive. And that just seems so cruel. How did you ever make sense of that?
I didn't. And, you know, to this day, I haven't. Uh-huh. And when my father died back in the early 90s, now, granted, I left there in 1968. I left the convent. Uh-huh. My dad died in the early 90s. And I went back for his funeral, and some of the nuns were there, including the nun I had entered with, who is still there. Uh-huh. And she and I acted like no time had passed at all. Everything was great. Uh-huh. The other nuns kind of nodded at me. Right. Well, I told her, I said, you know, when I get home, I'll send you a letter. Let's start being pen pals. Wouldn't that be fun? And she said, that'd be great. I sent her, at that time I was doing the New Times newspaper, I sent her the newspaper, sent her a note. I never heard from her.
Wow.
And I sent another card probably about 2 years ago, because every now and then I kind of try to poke the ant nest. Uh-huh. And I sent a card and no answer. So to this day, I am shunned. Right. To this day, I am shunned.
So you can't make sense of it from an analytic perspective,
no.
From an intellectual, rational perspective. How did you heal your heart?
You know, I think it was just a case of time, and for me, it was also a case of leaving the church. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a huge wake-up call for me that this Christianity, the form of Christianity that I had been raised with, was not what it appeared to be. And so this priest who had baptized me, who I'd known my whole life, he died. So I went to see his body. He was laid out at the local church, and I went and I told him, I said, you know, I'm leaving the church. This is it. This is the last time I'm going to be in a Catholic church, and, you know, sorry to disappoint you, but this is not the religion that I signed up for. This isn't it. And so for the next 13 years, I had nothing whatsoever to do with any kind of organization or spirituality, you know, that was organized or a church.
Right.
But I did keep my own spirituality, and I decided that God was a being on another planet, and that was who I prayed to. You know, so it wasn't that I quit praying. I was mad at Jesus, of course. You know, you know, forget that.
Right.
He and I have since made up. But
I love that.
You know, I think for me, then I went through what I believe was the reason I left the convent, which was I was here to have many, many life experiences within one lifetime. And it never would have happened had I stayed a nun. And I believe that the reason I was in a convent for those formative years when I was a teenager was because if I hadn't have been, I probably would have been really, really wild as a teenager once I broke free from my family.
Well, we're talking the 60s,
and,
talking the 1960s, right?
Yeah, the late 60s. And I'd have been, probably would have been pregnant with a bunch of kids and would not have been available for the other life experiences that I needed to have. So I think I was protected during that time.
Right.
And I think I was given like a really good, solid spiritual base of I mean, I meditated and all the things I did when, you know, normally you'd be out partying.
Sure.
And I think, and I know that gave me a huge spiritual base upon which to then build my life. But then I had to go out and have all these other experiences.
Right. You know, Krista, it's funny because once probably, I don't know, my late teens or something, I had this sense, like I had a lot of sort of emotional turmoil in my life. And I had the sense that if I could just go off and live all by myself somewhere, I would be really happy. Because I think I'm just naturally a very happy person. And I got strong guidance. No, it's like I was guided to go and live in a normal life, and experience all those things that could trigger the pain, that could could help me to grow, essentially, which is what I came to understand later. So, yes, you're right. Like, getting out of the convent allowed you to have all these other life experiences. And there's some fascinating ones that we're going to chat about when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show with Krista Gibson.
Clairvoyance, a gift few have.
And even fewer match the powers of one of America's best.
Dr. Linda Salvin. Dr. Linda's uncanny ability drills to the core of your issues to bring you quick and accurate answers and predictions. In more than two decades, Dr. Linda has helped over 75,000 people.
On national radio, by phone, in person.
When you need answers, Dr. Linda makes it clear. Book your time with this legendary seer now. Click on lindasalvin.com.
Or call 888-509-1077.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Right. I've been living a lonely life. I've been sleeping here instead. I've been sleeping in my bed. Sleeping in my bed.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today to Krista Gibson, who is a bright light who I've known for, oh gosh, well over a decade. And I've seen wonderful things come from Krista, and this is one of them. Anything is Possible: How a Former Nun Counseled Drug Addicts, Worked in Machine Shops, Survived a Serial Killer, Became a Spiritual Teacher and Publisher, and What This Means for You. You know, Krista, before the break, we were talking about how you sort of got launched one way or another from the Catholic Church to a new life. What were some of the things you experienced in life that have helped you to kind of define who you are today?
Well, you know, I think one of the really good things that happened for me after I left the convent was I got on my own really fast. You know, so I came from this really super protected environment of the nunnery where, you know, I lived with a community of people and my needs were provided and so on and so forth, a very structured environment. And from that, I was basically tossed out into the world. I stayed at my parents' house just very briefly, just long enough to find ways to make enough money. I didn't even think of getting a job, which I find really interesting.
Really?
My entrepreneur came out immediately. You know, I got a church. I got a job playing the organ at a Lutheran church. I got music students. I started doing playing the pipe organ for weddings and funerals so that I could cobble enough money together to support myself. And through that, then, what happened was I was still in an environment where people had known me as a nun, and so they kept having the expectation that I was a nun, and they were kind of uncomfortable with me, and I was uncomfortable with me. And, you know, I began to break out of it. I would go to parties. I started drinking and smoking and doing all the things that are very un-nun-like. But eventually what I saw was I was not going to really break free until I moved to a different city. And which was true for me. And so I pulled up stakes. I was taking my last few hours for my college degree, dropped out of college, moved to a different city, got a job as a receptionist at an oil company.
Oh, my goodness.
And thought, okay, what am I going to do now? And through those experiences, you know, having the courage to even do that and to make my way in a new city where I didn't know people. And eventually I thought, wait a minute, now I can do what I want, which was become a psychologist. I can go back to school, which I did, and get a degree in psychology.
Which is what you wanted to do originally, yes.
Right, that's what I wanted to do. As a nun, I wanted to be a counselor. And so I was working during the day at the oil company, got lined up for night school, and I thought, you know what, wouldn't it be great if I could get a job working in the psychological field while I'm going to school. It would make better sense. I would learn more.
Sure.
So I heard about a job as a receptionist at a drug treatment clinic. So I went and applied, and I told the fellow who was hiring me, I said, look, I'm getting this degree. If you hire me, how about as I progress, you move me ahead? So eventually I will have my degree and I can be a counselor. He said, good idea. And so he hired me and he kept his word. As I learned more and got further in my degree program, he promoted me. And one of the jobs I had almost, well, within like 6 months, was what was called intake interviewer. And what that meant was I interviewed every person who came to that clinic for help with a drug problem. And I interviewed their family. Do you imagine the people, the stories, the richness that I immediately found in all these people's lives? I mean, through that, I was exposed. I mean, it was better than any course in psychology that you could ever take.
I bet.
Because people told me their secrets. You know, they told me what, you know, like the children would tell me why they had turned to drugs. They would never tell the parents. They told me. And I was close enough in age that they trusted me. You know, I wasn't part of the establishment. And the parents, they trusted me, too, because I was closer to their kids' age. So they were like, okay, we need to listen to her. She's going to tell us stuff, you know? But I think that job, that, you know, when I really got out there in that world of counseling and learning about other people, I think that broadened my horizons so much. And it really taught me compassion. It taught me how to encourage people to trust me. It taught me how to earn people's trust quickly, because I had to do an intake interview in like 45 minutes.
Wow.
I didn't have like 4 hours.
Right.
And so all of that, and then what ended up happening, of course, is we started working. These were more what we called it the soft drug users, you know, the uppers, the downers, the pot, that kind of thing.
Right.
Then the program started working more with the hardcore users, heroin.
Wow.
Whole different element of people. Now
I
we're
bet.
Talking criminals. We're talking about people on probation and parole. We're talking about thieves, you know, people who carry guns and knives. And from that, I worked with a different program where that all I worked with was people coming out of prison or going into prison. And that, again, gave me an entirely different, you know, introduction to different kinds of people.
Talk about the antithesis, the opposite of being in a convent.
Right. The total opposite to meet people like this. And that's where I tell some stories in the book where I had, you know, a couple of situations where men were going to rape me and managed to get out of both situations intact and without being raped.
How did you manage to do that?
Well, in one case, the guy was this really big, 6'4", big, tall, you know, and he was a rapist.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just out of prison, and I was his counselor, and he'd have to see me twice a week. And at one of my sessions, he just stood up and came barreling over to me and said, "I'm going to rape you."
Oh, my goodness.
And he could have, the situation where we were, he could easily have gotten away with it. It was private enough. And so I guess my survival instincts, my angels or somebody,
uh-huh.
plus I did have some training in dealing with people like that.
Sure.
But I stood up and I just eyeballed him. I went chest to chest, eyeball to eyeball, and I said, "Go ahead." I said, "Rape me." I said, "You know what?" I said, "I'm going to hurt for a little while, but you're going to hurt a long time because you're going back to prison, buddy. You rape me, back to prison, minimum 10 years. So
good
I said,
for
make
you.
Your decision. And I just stared him down. And he finally turned around. He was mad. He left, slammed the door. I never saw him again. I got him off my caseload.
Oh, wow.
But the other one happened a few years later, and I was alone. In a, it was a storefront in a, an area of town where it used to be a business, and so it was right on the street. And I was there by myself. I was the head counselor,
uh-huh.
but all my other counselors were out, and I was there by myself. And these four guys walked in the front door, and they were like nudging each other in there, "Hey, babe, we're going to rape you, ha, ha, ha."
Oh,
and so I looked at him, and I was like, of course, my immediate thing was fear.
Right.
But I moved out of that very quickly because, you know, I could smell the alcohol on them.
Uh-huh.
And I went, oh, okay, I think I can do this. So,
right.
And I remembered that other situation. And so I just threw my shoulders back, and I, you know, youthful brashness as well.
Uh-huh.
And I just looked at him, and I said, "Go ahead." I said, "You guys can't rape me." I said, "You can't even get it up. You don't even know what to do with it." And while I did that, I just pushed my way through them, pushed them aside, and got out the front door on the sidewalk as quick as I could.
Uh-huh.
And once I was outside, there were other people around.
Right.
So I held the door open, and I said, "Get the F out here, and get out of here, and don't ever come back."
Uh-huh.
And by now, people had gathered, so I was safe.
Right.
And so they ran out, and they never came back. And I went in and locked the door real fast.
Uh-huh. So, knowing what you know these days about manifestation, do you have any sort of inkling as to why you... I mean, I know you were working within this realm of, you know, dealing with people who are sort of on the fringe,
mm-hmm,
and were
right.
criminals, but any idea why you managed to manifest that?
You know, I really think that it was a way for me to get in touch with different... places of power within myself.
Oh.
And I didn't know I had, especially with my background,
sure.
I didn't know I could draw on that kind of power within myself. I didn't know that. You know, when I first started working with the criminal element, and I went for my first interview, the two interviews, it was a man and a woman, and this was at the second place where I would be working with the really criminal element.
Uh-huh.
They put me through a test, and I failed the test. And what they did was that one of them pretended they were a drug user,
uh-huh.
and I was the drug user's counselor.
Right.
And the drug user basically manipulated me through a conversation into doing what he wanted me to do.
Uh-huh.
And they said, "Well, congratulations, you just failed that test." And I said,
dear.
"Why?" They said, "Because you ended up doing just what he wanted you to do. Here's the right way to handle that."
Uh-huh.
And so they taught me, and one of my bosses was an ex-cop. He taught me how to cuss, how to yell, how to scream,
uh-huh.
how to get in people's faces. You know, parts of my personality you wouldn't even believe I had.
Uh-huh. I think it's funny that you had to learn how to cuss.
Yeah, oh, I was the best cusser. I mean, I can let them go, let me tell you. In fact, I've done it for people a few times, and they're shocked. But anyway, that's beside the
Let's
point.
Let's not practice on the air, though, right now. Thanks, appreciate that.
No, I won't do that.
I'm just kidding.
I won't do that. But I think that was all, what that whole period of time was about, was on my part getting in touch with my own power as
right.
a woman, as a person,
uh-huh.
and knowing how to manifest that in my life,
uh-huh.
because I hadn't done that in this lifetime. So that was it. The second part was I really did help some people.
Mm-hmm.
There were a number of the people that I worked with that absolutely I was able to help them through a rough spot, help them get off drugs, help them better themselves.
Uh-huh.
Many I wasn't, especially the hardcore ones,
uh-huh.
Because that's just the way it is. But I do believe that's what that was about. It was me getting in touch with my power.
Yes. And I love that, Krista, because instead of like looking back and seeing yourself as a victim or a potential victim,
right.
you saw yourself as a powerful woman.
Right.
Love
yep.
that. Love that.
Yeah. And well, I was forced to. I mean, it was either yeah. give in or step up.
Right.
Yeah. And I stepped up. mm-hmm. And it has served me very well in my life. Right. It has served me very, very well to be able to know I have that place within myself uh-huh. and to be able to access it at will.
Yes.
Has served me many, many times in a lot of different situations.
We're going to be going to a quick break, but before we do, Krista, can you please share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. My website, I have two websites. One is KristaGibson.com, which is KrystaGibson.com. And there's a contact form there as well as information about all my books and classes and everything. And then there's NewSpiritJournal.com, which is, you know, we quit printing the publication in uh-huh. January. We're now totally online.
Right.
And people just love it. It's a really active, very vibrant website. They can reach me that way.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful, I still call it a paper, even though it's not paper form anymore, but it's a wonderful newspaper, and there's some great information. There's some wonderful articles. And your column's always wonderful, too. So it's worth checking out newspiritjournal.com as well. But we need to go to another quick break. More with Krista Gibson in a few moments. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Krista, you've gone through several renditions of yourself, so to speak, reading this book and hearing about all the different things you've done. How did you finally decide to become a publisher and a spiritual teacher?
Well, that was really a spirit brought me back. You know, I got involved in metaphysics through a friend I met and started studying metaphysics and got really deeply involved in science of mind and the Unity Church and Eastern traditions, reading autobiography of a yogi, getting involved with studying Sai Baba, all of those people. And I started feeling that there was something, I had a mission, and I felt it. I felt I had a mission, but I didn't know what it was. But I kept feeling it, and I can so relate to people because I do counseling and working with people. And one of the things when somebody says, "I know I'm supposed to do something, but I don't know what."
Yes,
it's like, yes, I know.
I hear that a lot as well, Krista. I think that there are a lot of people out there just yearning to show up in some way in their lives, and they just don't know how or what.
And what I tell them is, you have to meditate, pray. No, get in touch with following inner guidance in little ways. Really hone that ability to get in touch with your inner guidance and follow it so that when the message comes about what you're supposed to do, you do it.
Yes.
Because if you aren't in touch and you don't know your guidance, the message is going to come and you're going to be looking the other direction, and then you're going to keep being miserable.
Yes. And I think that the asking part is important, too. To ask for help, to ask for guidance.
Yep. And to be patient, you know. Patience sometimes is so important because all the ducks have to line up before it happens. And we frequently get the message way ahead of time, and then we're all like, okay, I should have it now, I should have it now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, just you need to learn more skills, you need whatever you might need to do before the universe is going to open that up for you.
Right.
And that's where continuing to follow guidance is so important,
right,
and being patient. But what happened for me was, I ended up, through a series of events, getting a job at a newspaper, which I had no experience in, running the entire newspaper by myself.
Wow.
And then one day, in my car, it came. It was, move to Seattle and start a monthly New Age community newspaper. It came just like that.
Wow.
And I said, what? You know, it was repeated. Move to Seattle, start a monthly New Age community newspaper. Did it happen right away? No. I had to go through a whole series of things, and that's all in the book. But I did eventually move to Seattle, and I started a monthly New Age community newspaper called The New Times.
Right. It was very successful, and you eventually sold it.
I did, because it became time for me to do something else. And from there, I did elder care. I had a retail store. And then eventually the call came again. You need to publish a newspaper again. So back I came 10 years ago.
And that's when I ended up connecting with you.
Yes. That was it, 2005.
So you've written several spiritual books. You teach workshops on a regular basis. Do you have anything coming up in the near future?
I have a great 6-week class. It's a lunch and learn. And if you're in the Everett area, it's going to be at the Everett Unity Church on Colby. And it's going to be starting Thursday, August 6th. And every Thursday for 6 weeks, we're going to meet from noon to 1. You can bring your lunch. And we're going to go through different ancient teachings that are based on the teachings of Yogananda that will help you manifest your life the way you want it and be happy at the same time.
Okay.
And the whole 6 weeks only cost $50.
That sounds
and
great.
I'm also going to be doing my wisdom readings there once a week on Thursdays.
Right. And just if you're in the Seattle area, because face it, people, Everett's not that far away from Seattle.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
And the other work I do on by phone and Skype, I do mentoring and wisdom readings for people. And you can find out all about that at KristaGibson.com.
Right.
All the information is there, and how to get in touch and how to sign up and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So, Krista, do you feel that you have stepped into your mission after all these different things that you did as the spiritual Indiana Jones?
Well, I think I have been living my mission the whole time.
Okay.
I like
that distinction. I like that.
Yep. I think the big mission we all have is to be ourselves and to live our lives to the fullest in wherever we are and whatever we're doing, whether it's doing laundry or teaching a class.
Mm-hmm.
It's being in the now. It's being in touch with our higher self. But am I, in terms of manifesting career-wise or work-wise or service-wise, that is still unfolding. And this book is actually opening more doors for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, my teaching is going to continue. My doing individual sessions is going to continue. I have an Anything is Possible book two I'm working on now.
Oh, wonderful.
So there is much more to come.
Uh-huh. So
much more to come.
As you know, as we all sort of step up to our mission, and there are things that we want to manifest or things that we're thinking may manifest, how do we trust that it's unfolding perfectly?
Well, I tell people, do baby steps. You know, take whatever direction you think you're supposed to move in, take a baby step in that direction. Do something on a physical level that will move you in that direction even a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Then stop and see what happens. Look
okay.
for the feedback.
Uh-huh.
And if the feedback's positive, take another baby step.
Uh-huh.
And another, and another. If the feedback's negative, then back up.
Right.
And say, okay, what am I not quite seeing here? How is this maybe a little different than how I'm looking at it? But it is all about taking baby steps. And once you do that enough times, you start getting a visceral sense of what's right. You feel it in your bones.
Uh-huh.
And I think you know that, Christine,
oh, yeah.
from your own work,
oh, yeah.
what I'm talking about. But you have to make that effort. You have to put yourself out there in baby steps and then look for the feedback.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Krista, with this book, you've really put yourself out there by sharing your journey. Has that sense of openness and vulnerability shifted you?
It has. You know, I feel really good about what I've shared, and the feedback I'm getting from people is mm-hmm. so good, especially about Catholicism.
Uh-huh.
You know, so many people are telling me, thank you for sharing that. I had that same experience, you know,
wow.
being betrayed.
Right.
And my coming to terms with it and my sharing that for people has been very healing for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think it's been a really good thing that I did this. I'm getting mm-hmm. excellent validation.
Uh-huh.
And people are really saying how it's helping them look more at their lives and how they need to step out and what they need to be doing with their lives, which is why I wrote the book.
Right.
It's to encourage everybody to get in touch with your life purpose and live it.
Mm-hmm.
And realize anything is possible. Don't just sit there and say, well, I can't. Yes, you can. Go for it.
Yes. And that brings us back to the title of your book, Anything
yes.
is Possible.
Yep.
Krista, I really appreciate you joining us here today. How can people get in touch with you one more time?
KristaGibson.com. Or they can call me at 425-356-7237.
Yes. And how do they get a hold of the book?
It is at Amazon, at both paperback and Kindle. And then locally, it's at East West Bookshop, the Ananda Temple, Vision Quest in Everett, and Matajong Herbals in Everett.
So if you don't want to wait the 2 days it takes for Prime shipping from Amazon, you can go
yep.
out and get immediate gratification today.
You absolutely
you live in the Seattle
can,
area.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right. You can, absolutely.
You know, Krista, it's always a joy to talk to you and to connect with you, and I'm so grateful that you're here on your mission, and I thank you for sharing yourself so generously here today.
All right. Thank you for having me, Christine.
Thank you. And I thank you, the listener, for joining us here today, for connecting with us, and for showing up in your own life in however way, whatever way feels right, and I appreciate being a part of your journey today. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.